Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Human beings are tempted, and probably always have been, to elevate certain persons above others. We show greater respect for the employer than for the employee, for the teacher than for a student, for the president than for a citizen, for the general than for a private. How many of us treat the poor with the same respect we do the rich? Some of us discriminate on the basis of race or color or national origin or socioeconomic status. And who can doubt that the master in the days of slavery received greater honor than the slave? Yet the Scripture condemns such prejudice and bigotry. But he who does wrong shall receive for the wrong he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Colossians 3:25. God's Word does not allow for slaves or poorly paid employees to steal from their masters to make up for the deficiencies in their wages. The Apostle Paul demanded of Titus, "Exhort slaves to be obedient to their masters, and to please them well in all things, not talking back, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Titus 2:9-10. The word purloining means stealing. Even though the slave or poorly paid employee may have deserved more money and better treatment, they were not permitted under God's law to steal from their masters or from their employers to make up for what they should have been paid. Paul explains, "The one who does wrong, whether a slave or his master, an employer or his employee, shall receive for the wrong he has done." Is God as concerned about the wrongdoing of slaves as he is about their masters? The answer is an unequivocal yes, since with God there is no respect of persons. Does Paul mean that God has no respect either for the master or for the slave? That is not the meaning of the expression respect of persons. The word involves showing partiality. Some form of the term respect of persons or respecter of persons appears several times in the New Testament. The word basically means that God does not receive a person's face. God does not care if you are black or white, Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free. Do you remember what God told Samuel about the selection of the man to become Israel's second king? "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him," that is, Eliab, Jesse's oldest son. "For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." 1 Samuel 16:7. That incident is an excellent commentary on the expression, "There is no respect of persons with God." The following verses from the New Testament use the term respect of persons. Romans 1 provides a really troubling list of the great sins of the Gentile nations. Romans 2 tells us, in effect, that the Jews were not all that much better, even though they had been privileged to have the oracles or words of God. Romans 3:1. Paul wanted both Jews and Gentiles to know of their need for the gospel. He says very simply, "There is no respect of persons with God." Romans 2:11. In other words, God does not show partiality to either Jews or Gentiles. "There is none righteous, no, not one. They are all under sin." Romans 2:9-10. Jews who sinned were under the same condemnation as the Gentiles who sinned. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus has a brief discussion of slaves and masters. He exhorted the masters, in effect, to treat their slaves as the masters would want to be treated. He commanded them not to threaten their slaves, "knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Ephesians 6:9. James urged his readers, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons." James 2:1. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.